Hello and welcome to Only Fools and Brotherly Forces, the Only Fools and Horses rewatch podcast with me, Bobby, and my brother, Jamie. Good evening, Jamie. How's it going?
Not too bad, Bob. How's everything going out in Norway?
I think not too dissimilar to how it is everywhere else. Weird, strange times, but we're getting by. I can't complain. I have all I need. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad on this side. Mostly housebound, bar a little bit of exercise. But keeping spirits up, keeping busy with a few little things going on. Obviously, the podcast being one of them. I hope everyone at home is keeping themselves nice and busy. My impression is actually that a lot of people are kind of getting a bit comfortable with it. I know initially some people were a little bit not up for it, but I know a few people who have said that they don't want to go back to work properly now. So hopefully everyone's getting a bit more settled.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly that strange becomes routine. I think it's much easier than people think to just take up a very new routine. It all becomes very normal very quickly.
So thanks for joining us for this week. I hope you are all healthy and well. This week we've got Series 3, Episode 7, Who's a Pretty Boy, which is a stunning episode. Very, very memorable for loads of different reasons. Of course, we're going to see Denzel for the first time popping up, which is great. Do you know how many episodes Denzel's actually in?
Oh, interesting. Didn't check that. He's in quite a lot of the later ones, so I'm going to go for 12?
Close, 18 episodes in total.
Is it that many, is it? Oh, wow.
But
nice.
I thought that wasn't actually that much, but I suppose actually it probably is quite a lot. It feels like it's an endless sometimes, the amount of episodes, but it's probably not quite too crazy. It's also one of the first, one of the only of three episodes where we don't see the inside of the Trotter's flat. Other one is Cash and Curry. And The Longest Night.
I'm pretty sure we mentioned that piece of trivia when we did Cash and Curry as well.
Yeah, we'll mention it on The Longest Night as well.
I'm sure we'll mention The Longest Night as well.
Yeah, because, you know, maybe not everyone's listening to it all. But really happy to see Grandad in most of the second half of this episode. Obviously, only two with him left on there, so definitely was soaking up as much Grandad as I could in this episode.
Yeah, definitely.
A really good one to get into, so unless you've got anything else to chat about, we should head straight in.
Definitely, let's get to it.
Series 3, Episode 7, Who's a Pretty Boy? Stick a bunny in me pocket, I'll fetch the suitcase from the van. Scene 1, and we've got the rickety little three-wheel van coming into view. Always nice to see that chugging along. And we don't actually see the outside of the Nag's Head, but they're pulling up to the Nag's Head. And we get a classic move by Del. He puts a little meter out of order sign. Well, he doesn't. He gives it to Rodney to put on, because obviously Rodney's the fool boy.
I wonder if this was something that worked. I guess it did, because it's probably like an official thing that he probably nicked off an actual not working meter and then went around. This is definitely something you wouldn't have today. It would be like an official clamp or something like that. But I love the idea that in the back of the day you could just put a plastic bag over a meter and you'd be fine.
I think there was lots of different things you could get away with in the 80s that you definitely couldn't get away with now. But
yeah,
it's a victimless crime. Del does stroll into the Nag's Head pretty much straight away, and we get a really good solid joke from him to the first person in the bar.
Hello, Randy, my son. Hi. How are you? All right. Here, I saw your missus on Tuesday. She got a terrible spot on her forehead, didn't she?
He walks over to the bar lady, mentions that he had been up Southall listening to some Indian festival or something. For those of you who don't know, Southall has been Southern Asia and India's kind of hub in London for the past 50 years. Funny enough, really randomly, I had a samosa yesterday, which just so happened to be from Southall.
Good place to get a samosa from.
Yeah. Didn't get it from that day, but my stepfather pops down to Southall once in a while and picks a big box of samosas up. So I just so happened to be smashing down a little Indian snack yesterday, which I also mentioned to somebody else was from Southall. So it's funny to hear that again today.
Yeah, so I like these little early jokes that he makes. It's a good example of just the right way to do that kind of humour. can be a delicate line. People worry about these things. You can't make jokes about certain things, blah, 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 blah. But I think this is really well done and very funny, harmless. The guy's laughing. Everyone's chuckling along. Good banter.
Good banter indeed. It can be very, very funny to make fun of, you know, the differences in us, and to take it all in good faith is a really good, healthy thing, I think.
Yeah, and it's actually funny because it's not the only time that this happens in this episode. There's a very similar exchange in the next scene with Denzel, when again the same sort of things are happening. Is they're very much talking about it's not even an elephant in the room, because it's just the fact that there are people in this show that are from different races and different places and different backgrounds, and it's London. That should be a part of the plot and something that they talk about. So I think it's handled very well in Nanny Falls generally, and particularly in this episode. There's a good couple of examples.
Dale orders one of his famous, well, can't call it a cocktail, but orders one of his well-known drinks, Campari and Diet Coke, which we happen to have actually tried on our own Christmas episode. Christmas just going back a few months ago. We found that it actually wasn't that bad a drink, really, was it?
No, it totally worked. It was, yeah, surprisingly drinkable.
We had just come off the back of a Caribbean Stallion, so it might have been a little bit better. But if you haven't watched us in the episode, we actually did a little video, one of the rare occurrences that we are together. So check that out for a couple of random cocktails.
There was also here reference to, we talked about the barmaid here and the camel hair overcoat.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah, camel hair overcoat gag, which I thought had been mentioned in a previous episode, but I was obviously wrong about that because it's mentioned here. Good joke. Comes up again later in the episode as well. There seems to be a recurring thing, these very dodgy coats.
But it is a bit of a reference to a previous series, because he was knocking them out last series in No Greater Love. And I was thinking, it's not very often that they reference previous episodes in Only Fools. They reference all the time stuff that's happened in the past. It's not very often that a previous episode or series is specifically drawn upon. I don't know if you noticed,
but it is, I think they're definitely different coats, because the thing with that episode in No Greater Love was they were just all massive, where the thing with these coats that he's flogging, I think it's a different set, because they've all got, you know, space for a hunchback. So I think
you
the
think he's just got a brand new load of camel hair coats in.
Yeah, definitely. I think he had a set that were all massive, he flogged them. A year later he's got another set that have all got hunchbacks, and he's flogged them as well.
Got his finger on the pulse.
But eventually we get on to kind of the plot bit of the episode, if you like, and that is largely dealing with a big jolly Irishman called Brendan.
Oh yeah, there he is. Paddy McGinty's goat.
Are you all right, Del?
And it's all about the painting and decorating game. He's going to be apparently redecorating the Nag's Head. Or at least he's in the works to do it. But just before that, he's going to paint Denzel's front room. So he's arranged to do that for a cheeky £200, apparently, which I thought was a lot of money to get someone to paint a living room.
I guess it depends how bad it is and what he wants done. I mean, I'll reference how bad Denzel's room is later, but it probably needed £200 worth of work.
True. I mean, I guess the fact that if you're having someone come in, move furniture out, cover all the furniture, do it, clean up after, that probably is a couple of days' work, and is probably a couple of £100 now. But I was thinking then, that seems like a lot for a day's work. I mean, how much did he charge for the...
He's looking for a grand for the pub.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's bidding a grand for the pub. I mean, it's an entire pub, and this is £200 for some bozo's front room. Seems a bit random. Yeah. Anyway... Right,
Nevertheless, overcharging or not, after a bit of a natter and Del sniffing out some potential opportunity, Brendan, the big Irishman, starts to walk out and properly accosts Rodney.
Are you all right there, Rodney?
Yes, terrific. Thank you, Brendan.
Were you happy with that paint I got you last week?
The paint? Yeah, ice.
Good. I'll see you around then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you take care of yourself.
Rodney's shaking like a shitting dog as he asks him what the paint was like last week. And Rodney is just being, his, in true Rodney fashion, doing a bit of a...
You're giving it the big one, isn't he?
He's giving it the big one, yeah.
Don't know how I managed to keep my hands off you.
And Del's gone from finding out literally seconds before that the Irishman is doing Denzel's flat to basically saying it's a foregone conclusion and roping Rodney into doing it. Like, he already has set out everything that's going to happen, and he knows in a day's time he's going to be in there doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely classic Del Boy opportunity, seeing it, going for it, not hesitating, having absolutely no doubt in his mind. It's a guaranteed job, it's done. And he goes straight over to Dental's house.
After a bit of a natter with Rodney about how much of a terrible, well, Rodney saying how much of a terrible idea it is, we get a little cut to Denzel in Denzel's house. And we see Paul Barber for the first time having a chat with the bird. And one of the first lines he says is,
"Come on, Sylvester, talk to Denzel. Say Viv Richards is king. Come on, let me hear them golden tones."
So I don't suppose you know who Viv Richards is, do you, Bob?
Definitely do, somewhere in the back of my brain.
Oh, really?
I get the feeling I should definitely know who it is, but I'm not.
So Sir Isaac Vivian Alexander Richard, KNH OBE, is an Antiguan retired cricketer who represented the West Indies at Test cricket and international levels, and is regarded as to be one of the greatest batsmen of all time.
Fair play. It's not surprising I didn't know him. I felt like I should have. The name seemed more familiar, but then there's a lot of Vivs about and a lot of Richards. So
yeah, I actually thought it would be like a football player or an artist or something.
I assumed it was a singer, description. Yeah.
But clearly into his Windies cricket, old Denzel.
The first thing I noted, of course, about you introduced him there as Paul Barber. Are you aware that Paul is not Paul Barber's real name?
I am not aware of that, no.
His real name took me by surprise. It's Patrick.
Ah, nice. Why did you change
it? It's one of those, I imagine it's one of those classic actors' union jobs, chosen a different name. But yeah, Patrick, he was known as Paddy as a kid.
Oh, interesting. Done quite a lot of work, old Paul Barber. When I checked out his IMDb, he's just got a massive list of random stuff. I mean, from well before Only Fools to even last year, he was on, I don't know, four or five different things. He's been a busy boy.
Yeah, I think obviously the things that stand out on his IMDb or whatever are Only Fools and Full Monty, which is what everyone's definitely seen him in. But yeah, he's definitely done plenty of other things.
Del knocks on the door, and Denzel invites him in, and they're being all cool, and Rodney is just so uncool. It's
exactly what I've written. Denzel, cool. Rodney, so uncool.
He's like, it's one of those things where it's just so unnatural. He's trying to be, you know, down and, you know, be a little bit cool like the West Indian lad, but he's just useless at it.
Yeah, absolutely not got a clue. But yeah, Denzel is smooth as anything. You know, they've really played up to his heritage straight away. You know, like you said, talking up to the West Indian cricketer. He's handing him out Red Stripe, of course, because that's the beer he'd have in his house. Love it.
Yeah, so I've written that same note. Love Red Stripe. Yeah, Red Stripe always reminds me of going to Carnival, Notting Hill Carnival. I can't remember if I mentioned that before, actually, but I went up there two or three years in a row with a few lads. Such good fun. I recommend it to anyone. If you haven't been to Notting Hill Carnival, just food and music and beer, big old street party, proper good London vibes there.
Reminds me of drum and bass festival, raves in Nottingham. Everyone used to drink Red Stripe.
There's some pretty good rigs there. 'Cause if you are the best, but you don't ask questions, then brother, I'm your man. Del gets his teeth in pretty much straight away, and points out that the last house the Irishman did, you know, went up in flames.
Oh, Brendan. Oh, well, you can't go far wrong with him, Denzel. He's a good man. Here, did you hear about that house he did up in, where was it, King's Avenue? Oh, he made a beautiful job of it, so I hear. Mind you, I only saw it after the fire.
And Denzel spits his beer all over the place. And as always, then plays it pretty calmly, like it was nothing, and waits for little fishy to hook himself and ask a bit more.
I mean, he basically does the exact same thing to Denzel he did in A Touch of Glass. He suddenly claims that they've got a long history of painting and decorating. They gave it up because there was too much demand. I mean, Denzel's clearly a Muppet. But it's great. It's the exact same trick of just suddenly being there, suddenly being an expert, although he's never mentioned it, and offering a really good price.
Well, as soon as Denzel basically says, yeah, I'm in, Dell's miraculously got all the price and everything there. Like, he's like, I'm in. Cool. It's this much. This is what it's going to take. Cool. Licks and sticks. Like,
yeah. And he's got the paint, of course, as well. And I actually wanted to mention the paint because there was a little reference just before this where they were joking about the paint and saying, oh, yeah, Battleship Grey, because that's the paint they've gotten off Brendan, which they weren't amused with. It was meant to be a white, a fancy
apple,
shade of
apple white.
I've never seen a white apple in my life. What the hell is apple white?
It's just white with a little bit of green in it.
That's what I'm thinking. Okay, that's what I thought. But yeah, it said Battleship Grey. Like, who? Everyone's having their living room done in Battleship Grey these days. I don't know about what the fashion is like in England, but I can tell you in Scandinavia, everyone is doing their living room in Battleship Grey. Like, Grey is the most common colour in Norway for the last 10 years, the whole time I've been here. People do the outside of their houses in it, the inside of their houses. Grey is a really popular colour in interior design now, which is just quite amusing because then it was just considered a disgusting idea.
I'm not too up on my interior design, especially Scandinavian interior design, but I'll have to bow down to your superior knowledge.
Take my word for it.
Enter Corinne. She is literally from the get-go a proper complete bitch. she comes in and does whatever she wants, and she turns around and literally screams,
Denzel! What the hell is he doing in my home?
Which is just how Dell thinks that it's worth carrying on with this anyway. With their previous record and everything else that goes wrong, out of all the characters so far, she's possibly the scariest.
Oh, she's definitely the scariest. She's terrifying. She makes the axe murderer look like Grandad. She's absolutely terrifying. I love her. Absolutely one of these on top of the mountain, great little short-term characters we ever have. I think she's brilliant. And yeah, she just absolutely tears them and just owns the stage for about 5 minutes, just tearing into them, telling all these stories. And it's great. It's difficult to know which ones to quote and where to start, because this whole bit for her, these just few minutes of her walking around tearing into everyone, is just fantastic.
Yeah, it's a very sort of classic idea, you know, that strong, independent battle axe woman back at home. There's the moment. So all this is going on, Rodney just is completely oblivious, as always, and turns around to ask,
I want you to tell me the truth, Corinne. Am I white?
Denzel, have you and Rodney been at the funny fags?
No, honestly.
So maybe Rodney may not be that cool, but maybe him and Denzel have been, you know, lighting up a little cheeky one on the side.
There's that. I mean, Denzel was absolutely terrified of his wife. There's no two ways about it. As she gets towards the very end of her ranting, he looks genuinely like she might stab him at any moment. He seems genuinely in fear of his life, and I think rightly so.
I've written that he's cowering like a dog being told off. Like, he's got his head down, his head sinking into his shoulders, and as she's shouting, he's just getting further down, proper like a dog does when you have a go at a dog.
Yeah, brilliant. Bless him. But yeah, she is great, and to be honest, you've got to take a side in all this, because it sounds like Dell has absolutely tucked Denzel up dozens of times. I mean, the story of their wedding is a complete disaster. We have to quote some of this.
Don't bring that up, honey, please.
That was our wedding, Denzel! What was it we were supposed to have, Dell? Lobster vol-au-vent. Game pie.
Yes, pie.
Kidneys with saffron rice. Beef and anchovy savouries.
Philadelphia truffles.
And what did we end up with? Pie and chips all round.
That whole menu is brilliant, by the way.
It is. Yeah. To be fair, they've really missed out, because that original menu sounds lush.
Yeah, I want that menu. That sounds wicked. It did make me a bit hungry. And then, fun enough, the icing on the cake is that...
very good.
Don't you say she forgot about all this?
How can I forget it? I have to live with that wedding album the rest of my life. How many times have you seen a picture of a bride and groom cutting a jam sponge?
my favourite bit from that kind of explains all this, because you're sitting there thinking, why is Denzel, you know, his wife has every reason to hate Del, and it's amazing that they're still, that Denzel doesn't. And she says to him, you know, every time you're with him, you end up drunk or out of pocket. And Denzel just says, yeah, but he's a mate. We've all got mates like that. It's absolutely the case.
Well, I hate to say it, but I've actually written that, dedicated that line to one of my best friends, Rich, because unfortunately for him and for a lot of my friends, I am that mate. And one of the things that he always says when he comes to my house is, and what he said to his wife also, is that whenever he comes to my house, he either gets drunk or out of pocket, or quite often both. I've sent him home in terrible ways more than once. So a little nod and dedication to my good friend Rich for that. And unfortunately, I am that friend.
And so you should be. Why not? Everyone needs a friend like that.
But it's clear that this is basically Last Chance Saloon, as far as Del's concerned, in Corinne's eyes. Maybe has one chance to redeem himself. Can't say that any of us are very optimistic.
I did just want to touch on one little part at the end of this scene. So there's been a constant joke going on throughout this scene about how Rodney is really, really white. And there's a bit right at the end where Rodney says, oh, I'm not that white. And he goes, yeah, you're whiter than Denzel. And they said even Kunta Kinta is whiter than Denzel. So I had no idea who that person was. I assume you don't either.
I do, actually.
You do? Did you know already or did you research?
No, I did know.
Really?
It's a piece of history, yeah.
So I'd never heard of him, but it's from a 1972 novel, and it was a fictional character, but apparently based on a possible real character.
What was the novel called again?
It was called Roots,
that's it,
something.
Yeah, yeah. I actually read it. I read it in RE at school. I'm surprised it wasn't in your syllabus. I thought it was like something that everyone read.
No, I mean, we're about 5 years behind each other at school, right? So, no, four, three. 3 years? It could might have changed, yeah. But it was interesting, just because as a random thing, so the novel was obviously very, very well known, but also there was a TV show that came out about 5 years after the novel, so just before this show, and the main character, Kunta Kinta, was played by LeVar Burton. Who's someone we know really well from Star Trek and we're a big fan of. So I found that quite interesting. But the reason I wanted to find out who this guy was is because he says this person is even... You know, he basically makes it sound like Denzel is really, really dark. But Denzel isn't really dark. Denzel is mixed race. So this Kunta Kinta is definitely darker than Denzel. So I thought that made the joke not really work. But I learned some interesting history. So there was that.
Yeah, I think it's just playing on it like anything, like, you know, old Shorty over there when they're 6'7", you know, it's just playing on the stuff anyway. But yeah, a little bit of history. I have always said that we're half a history podcast.
Yeah, we've been a little bit light on the history recently, so I've been trying to do a little bit more research in some of these random mentions.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure everyone... I'm really surprised that you don't know Roots. I'm pretty sure that the overwhelming majority of people will know that book and the character. But anyway, moving on from the slave trade, it's clearly the last chance for Del, and they've got all to play for in trying to make up any kind of friendship with evil Corinne. We get a little fade out and a fade back in, and we're back at Denzel's, and the boys are coming in with their ladders and their overalls. There's a little note on the door that Rodney reads out saying,
leave the telly alone, don't eat the fruit and stay out of the kitchen.
Leave the telly alone and don't eat the fruit? What sort of people does she think we are?
Yeah, she got us tagged all wrong, hasn't she? Yeah.
And obviously they're already into it. They've already got the TV on. Del's already working his way through the fruit, talking about sticking the kettle on, see if they've got any biscuits, like proper making themselves at home.
Yeah, literally Grandad walks in, turns the telly on, and Del's got an apple in his hand as he's reading this note. I mean, they do take the piss. And to make it even worse, they then joke seconds later that this will all be done in a flash if Rodney pulls his finger out. Like, he's the one not doing anything, where Grandad and Dell are just sitting there making themselves at home.
I mean, Dell hasn't done himself any favours, so, you know, maybe he's not entitled to the same stuff as other friends. But if someone comes to my house, realistically, they can help themselves to whatever they want, especially if they're doing work. So I don't think they're taking the piss per se. I think Corinne's being a bit touchy. However, he is definitely taking the piss when we cut in and out again and Del's having a chat to a mate on the phone.
Hello, Ginger, Del boy, how you going, my son?
Who we find out very quickly is living in Canada. And that's just taking the piss. Like, I know international calling used to be very expensive back in the day.
Yeah, it's insane. And like, he's definitely going to get caught, because when the bill comes through, it'll be high. They'll check. It'll be itemised. I'm sure they were itemised back in the day like they are now. And it'll say quite clearly at what time this call happened, and they'll know Del did it. I've no idea why he's doing this. Just out of boredom, he's just phoning him out in Canada, almost out of spite to Corinne.
It's just like making money without making money, isn't it? Like, he's profiting from it in some other way and not having to, you know, put his hand in his own pocket.
Little side hustle.
After the phone call, Del asks where his cup of tea is, because he asked for it an hour ago, and Rodney has a bit of a panic and a fit.
Bloody hell, I left the kettle on the gas! Oh, stone me, Rodney!
Runs away into the kitchen. We see the kitchen just completely filled with condensation. We can't even really see them through it for the first few seconds. It's quite well done.
Yeah, it is well done. It is a big steamy mess. Yeah, I mean, I guess they should be happy that there aren't actual flames.
Yeah. I thought, to be fair, I'm surprised it didn't just catch fire. I mean, they've left it on for an hour. I mean, it boiled through, and then all the water would go out. I'm surprised it wouldn't just then catch fire.
But there's nothing to really catch fire. Like, the metal is just never going to catch fire with a flame on it, and then water. So I guess you're kind of all right. Like, the metal might melt, or the melt a hole going into it's a bit extreme. I'm not even sure that would happen, but there's nothing really to catch fire in the immediate vicinity. So it's been quite. I get that.
When you're heating something like that, I mean, water cools stuff down. So with no water, it would just continue to heat, and then that heat would expand from where it is outwards, and anything close would start to get hot. Work surfaces, maybe even the roof and the ceiling, if it was that hot. All that heat going up, it could easily catch fire. But nevertheless, thermodynamics out of the window. It starts to clear, and we start to see the guys a bit more clearly. And they're thinking they can probably get away with it somehow, saying the wallpaper might be a bit screwed, but, you know, Rodney's apologetic and feeling bad. And, you know, Dale's saying it's not too bad, they'll probably get away with it, until Granddad brings to light that the bird is dead.
I really want to play a bit here from the dead parrot sketch.
Remarkable bird, the Norwegian blue, isn't it? Beautiful plumage.
The plumage don't enter into it. It's stone dead.
No, it's resting.
All right then, if it's resting, I'll wake it up. Hello, Polly! I've got a nice fresh cuttlefish for you if you wake up, Mr. Polly Parrot!
Dairy moved.
No, he didn't. That was you pushing the cage.
I didn't.
Yes, you did. Hello, Polly!
Because that's all I was thinking out throughout this.
For me, this is possibly one of the worst props we'll ever see.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if you noticed how bad the bird is.
I hadn't really thought about it, to be honest.
Oh, it's so bad. It just looks like someone's put a plastic bird in there. I mean, it has got feathers, but it clearly is very far away from real.
Generally didn't really clock it. I hadn't seen many dead birds in my time, but yeah, I get it. But it's funny, very quickly they all turn on each other here.
What is Corinne going to say when she comes back and finds out what you have done to her little pet?
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing her face when she gets her next telephone bill.
Look at this big hole you made in the kettle.
Well, it's not as big as the hole you made in them Jaffa cakes, is it?
Will you two pack it in?
Quite frankly, I still think it could have been a lot worse, even with the dead bird. Like you said, lucky nothing else caught fire. So there's a dead bird, you take it.
Yeah, they've largely got away with it, to be fair. But they do need to replace the bird, so Del decides to send off... I mean, he decides to send Grandad off to get the bird, but then says the only thing that worries him is Grandad going off to get the bird. Like, why didn't he just go and get the bird?
I guess he didn't trust anyone else to do the cleaning up. It's that classic problem you have as a kind of a manager or a boss where ideally you would do all the tasks because your employees are cretins, but you have to delegate because you can't be in two places at once. And he's decided that that's the simpler thing and he'll hang around and clean up. It's it's an unfortunate situation for Del, but he isn't blessed with the most competent staff.
So Grandad exits muttering away.
Yellow canary.
And he makes his way towards the pet shop. And here we meet Italian Louis.
Hey, Grandad!
Which is the whole car. This whole bit is quite weird.
Very odd. Very odd character. Very odd scene. So he's a very, very camp Italian.
He's like a one of the family. He is my own flesh and blood.
So I googled the bloke. I don't know if you did.
No.
So because he does look Italian, but I'm pretty sure he isn't because that accent is just way turned up to 11. But he does look Italian. And so I googled him, and he was born in Birmingham. But if you look through his IMDb, most of the characters he's played are Italians. So I think he has got Italian heritage and can do the accent, because there's about half a dozen things which are all like the Italian policeman or, you know, names that are clearly Italian. So he's played a lot of Italians. He's clearly a go-to man for if you want a misc Italian looking bloke who can kind of do the accent.
Does have that sort of Goodfellas look about him. Yeah, sort of short, stumpy, combed back hair.
Exactly. Yeah. It's he does look very Italian.
And even though he knows Grandad, because he said, oh, Grandad, you know, not seen you in ages.
Yeah, weirdly calls him Grandad, isn't it?
Yeah, people do that.
Do they? It's weird that no one ever calls him his name. Like, you think you'd call him his name.
No, but I think it's quite common. Some people who just get called Grandad in like smaller communities like that get referred to as Grandad. I've seen it in real life, but certainly in TV quite a lot. But they're clearly acquainted and some kind of friendly. Grandad's just shouting at him that he wants a canary about 1,000 times.
No, I want a canary! This is an emergency!
Literally
shouting at him. And Italian Louis decides to basically do a bit of a Del and swindle a bit of money out of Grandad, and clearly what he says is it's his own personal pet canary and he sells it for 45 quid, but I think it's reasonable to assume that it probably wasn't and the guy's just made a killing and probably gonna shut up shop.
Yeah, I did wonder about that because he does try a long time to try and sell him something else, and it wouldn't be very unusual for someone to need something so specific. So was it believable that he maybe thought he could flog him something else at first and it was actually his own pet? I don't know. But, 45 quid for a canary sounds steep. Although, again,
it is ludicrously steep. You could probably buy him for, like, less than half of that now, easily.
Well, I did Google. Apparently anywhere between... this is an American price. It's the only one I could get. Apparently anywhere between $25 to $150, depending on... I've no idea what.
Now, the type of canary and the breed and its pedigree, I would imagine.
I need a pedigree canary now, do I?
Well, you know, like all like
the
a sort of things.
Is there like a crufts for birds? Like tweets?
Of that sort of stuff. Americans are mental. Like, there's that for fish, there's that for birds, there's that for large exotic animals. I mean,
there's
anyone
a crufts
who's
for
been.
Fish.
I mean, not actually a crufts, but there is like a, this is a very good specimen, therefore you're going to pay through the arse for it. And people trying to own exotic things that shouldn't be caged and or tanked drives me mad. I mean, anyone who's been watching Tiger King, hate to bring it up in this, but I'm sure many people have done, are going to know all about it. Because
literally spending every day trying to get away from news about Tiger King, I have no plan on watching it. I couldn't care less, and it's just everywhere because there's no news because nothing is happening apart from Corona, which they don't want to talk about all the time, so they're just grabbing hold of anything, and somehow Tiger King has become news. I don't care. I'm never going to watch it.
I just watched the first two episodes yesterday. It is quite funny.
I'm not watching it. I'm never watching it.
It's funny because just of how ridiculous it is. I mean, it's funny. It is kind of sad. I'm pretty pro animals, and the whole idea is a bit insane. But like anything, it's hard to understand that these people exist. But we'll get off that anyway. Don't cage birds. That's it. Stop caging stuff. Let it be wild and free.
Anyway,
Gandalf's been tucked up for a canary to the tune of 45 quid, and he walks out of the pet shop and bumps into Corinne, which I'm not sure that needs to happen, really. That scene probably is not necessary in my eyes. It's somewhat of a coincidence, but sure.
Yeah, it's interesting that I found in one way it was kind of nice because she's quite polite to Grandad, and perfect.
She is quite polite,
quite reasonable. So I think in a way it's could just be there to make her not seem like a complete bitch. Is that no?
She's kind of like that when she walks into the flat seconds later. Anyway, she's quite nice.
Yeah. True. I guess this is kind of set. This is maybe setting this up that if you catch her in the right mood, that she's all right. She's a reasonable human being. And I guess also just to mount on the pressure, isn't it? It's just mounting on the pressure.
Yeah, sure. It's a bit of a pressure builder for sure. We hear that we cut back into Denzel's flat, and we hear the door unlocking as the guys are watching the canary flutter around, and they all rush to the ladder to make it look like they're doing some work. Now, I don't know what they've been doing, but I'm pretty sure in that room is wallpaper. Grey wallpaper at that, and Rodney's wiping it with a sponge. Now, I'm not sure what you can do to bring back life into wallpaper, but I'm pretty sure that wiping with it a sponge is not going to help.
Yeah, it's like stripy, isn't it? It's kind of a zebra stripe thing going on. So I'm pretty sure it isn't a paint. It could be a painted design. They're washing it, and then they're going to paint on it. That is possible.
No, but it looks like strips of wallpaper. There's vertical lines going between it.
I completely agree. It's definitely wallpaper. So I haven't got a steady idea what they're doing.
So not only are they not doing anything, it's somewhat of a coincidence that their living room was Battleship Grey. And as horrible as it is, they want to keep it Battleship Grey. And they also had the Battleship Grey paint. And yet probably isn't actually using it.
No, I mean, it's just done absolutely nothing. In the entire day, they've moved a couple of bits, thrown some dust sheets around, and
had half a pack of Jaffa cakes and not a cup of tea and a bit of fruit
in it. Exactly. But yeah, apparently that counts as work.
If I was Corinne and walked in at that point, I think she'd have a pretty good reason to be livid because nothing's happened, and yet she's a bit nicer now. She's a bit more calmer. Very
nice. Offers him a cup of tea, which is funny. I did want to actually reference it earlier and I forgot, is when they first walk in, Grandad mentions that you know, you can't deprive someone of having a cup of tea. It's in the Magna Carta. Which I thought was a really great line, because there is nothing I agree with more. The whole idea of having like a tradesman in your house and not offering them a cup of tea, it would just be the most un-British thing on the planet to do. In Norway, a lot of people drink coffee and not tea. So I've gotten quite used to people not having tea. And also that really annoying habit of people not even really knowing what you want.
Oh, you said to me that you couldn't even find tea bags in supermarkets, like English black tea.
You can, but it's in tiny, tiny packages because it's like a novelty item. So you can get like a PG Tips tiny box with like 20 bags in it or something, or like a Twinings.
Norway sounds shit, mate. What are you doing there?
Well, I now use a very nice loose leaf tea, and I have fantastic tea. It's lovely. But like I remember when I was working in a cafe for a short time, and I was trying to... Whenever we had English tourists in, they would ask for tea, and the Norwegian staff would be like, Earl Grey, English breakfast. I was like, you don't need to ask. If an English person asks for tea, they want English breakfast tea. Stop wasting everyone's time. And yes, they want milk. Like, just get on with it. Come on, there's a queue of them here. A cruise ship just came in. And this was a conversation I had with every member of staff about 10 times. But there's one thing I think is a surefire way to learn a lot about someone is if they don't drink tea or coffee. I find that so weird. And I think it has become more common, but I always remember that was something that was really rare when I was a kid. You find someone who didn't drink tea, and you just be like, what? You don't drink tea? Everyone drinks tea. You can't not drink tea.
Yeah, literally for millennia, people have been drinking tea. Like,
yeah, it's just the most normal thing in the world.
But yeah, loose leaf is good if you can be asked to go through the effort for it. But yeah, all good. Tea. So people who don't drink tea, don't trust you. There's so many different tea. So many different teas. Go and try more teas. So back into the plot. Corinne's gone in to not make a cup of tea, and Del and Rodney are nervous about whether she's going to clock it or not.
Del seemed really confident that she won't. Like, oh, it's a bird. It's a bird is a bird. And I was thinking, anyone with a pet, maybe not with something like a goldfish, but even with something as simple as a canary, I would imagine anyone who has a pet that they have affection for, there's going to be distinguishing features that you, as someone without that pet, wouldn't recognise, but anyone who owns the pet would.
See, you say that, but I think I know a reasonable amount about birds. I can give you a little anecdote here, but I think that there's not a lot of differentiators from bird to bird. They are very similar. I mean, one of my friends tamed a robin and must have had, you know, two or three exchanges with this robin a day and still struggled to tell the difference between that robin and another robin, even though he saw them all the time. It was more to do with behaviour than looks, because they are so similar, and obviously they change because birds molt their feathers as well. Mm. So you do get changes, but then that means that it's hard to tell one apart. But largely a full whole yellow bird that doesn't have, you know, spots or different things, it probably is pretty hard to tell.
Yeah, I guess. I've never owned a canary, but I reckon there's canary owners out there going, "Pah, you!" Any true canary owner would know their canary from another canary instantly.
Yeah, maybe if you're like bang into your canary, but I'm not sure how. I mean, Corinne doesn't seem like a proper canary lover, like going out, you know, for walks with it or whatever. Anyway, so she shouts from the kitchen. And the boys come in saying that it looks all fine and, you know, full of the joys of spring. And he said, yeah, that's all very well, but when I left this morning, it was bloody dead.
Boom, boom, tsh.
Yeah, so it turns out, you know, they're 45 quid out of pocket, well, 50, because Grandad's taken a little taxi fare. and she's booted them out of the house as well, just to boot.
So now they're all down at the Nag's Head, lamenting their... what they see is very bad luck and Corin's massive overreaction. Once again, hard not to take Corin's side on this one. If they'd done what she said, then everything would have been fine. They did basically no work in the one day they were there. God knows how long it would have taken them to actually decorate the room. They have been left with their tail between their legs, and quite frankly, rightly so. And it is made even worse by Brendan the Irishman having been informed of everything.
Yeah, he walks in and, you know, Dale's confident he hasn't heard anything.
Do you reckon he knows, Dale boy?
No. Corin's not the sort to broadcast it.
And then from across the bar we get...
I taught a pony tanner.
Which is great that he's winding them up, giving them some proper banter. I mean,
so loud as well. Like, he shouts it across the pub. Like, everyone booming in the pub hears. Like, it's not like a little walk past and whisper it. It's, hey! Everyone!
And then he goes again and fires a second round with...
I was talking to Italian Louis. He told me he sold your flea-bitten canary for £45.
We find out that Grandad's done a bit of a tuck-up. I mean, I'm thinking at this point, obviously Corinne's angry and throwing him out. Del, the trotters in general, but Del was like a really good person and friend to have, as long as you don't stay too close. Like, it's like you have to stay a certain amount of distance away from Del to profit from his friendship without him messing you up in some way or another. Like, all of them had it at some point, but I thought it was just quite funny.
Yeah, I mean, the trick is to be a trigger and just have absolutely nothing to lose. And then you'd probably be all right. You can be as close mates as you like.
After the Irishman's given them a bit of a tearing into, we get Kenneth MacDonald, the old landlord Mike.
Oh, you must be the new governor. That's right. Mike Fisher. Pleased to meet you.
Hello, Mike. Daryl Trotter. People may have mentioned me.
Yes, certainly.
Well, of course, I'm a popular character around these parts.
First time for him as well, so proper... proper first episode here. Great to see Kenneth sporting a little bit of a bouffant. Quite big hair going on. Very old school.
Yeah. That's true, yeah, because he's always got more of a skinhead in the rest of the show, hasn't he?
yeah, a lot shorter hair. And Del Dan is like decides to create something out of nothing and has a little scheme, and within 10 seconds of knowing Mike is basically trying to bring him in on a bit of a swindle.
It's not even a bit of a swindle, is it? I mean, it's a massive swindle. I mean, it's underplayed, but this is essentially, like...
Fraud. yeah, like...
Large-scale fraud, and Mike is bang on board.
Dale does... In, like, this day and age, if that had happened and someone proposed something like that, there would have been a bit more of a conversation. But Mike just looks at him, smiles within about a second, and shakes his hand, and it's a done deal.
Yeah, so... £500. Don't mind if I do.
Yeah, isn't it? Perfect.
It's funny, and Del has literally done nothing apart from suggest the idea, and he's getting the £500 as well, which is insane. But I guess the one way I thought about it, which maybe makes this work, my little kind of theorising here, was the way Mike looks at it. He's like, well, if I'm giving the deal to Del, then if anyone comes a looking, I've kind of got clean hands.
Yeah, that's the whole point, is that...
Yeah, it's genius, so everyone kind of wins. So Dale's just outsourcing.
Yeah, Dale has the business front in order to be able to do the laundering, basically, as it were. That is the service he's providing.
I mean, I just wanted to say a quick word about this whole Mike introduction. Obviously, very glad to see him. He's a fantastic character throughout the rest of the show. But it's really random the way he's here. Like, it's the last episode of the regular series. Of course, we've got the Christmas special as well, which he's then not in, despite the fact they're in the pub. Very weird to bring in what's going to be a regular character at, like, one episode at the end of the series like that. Very odd thing.
I guess it depends if the next series was already commissioned. Like, if they had already commissioned, if that had been in the talks halfway through the third season... then they probably are forward planning, and actually it makes sense to bring in a character of the fourth season at the end of the third. I guess there's lots of work to be done in between. But yeah, I do see what you're saying there.
Pretty random, but yeah.
But that's it. He's gone from being down, probably not any money, but hasn't made any money, to turning over a little £500 profit just from a little natter with the barman. Get those quids in all over again.
Very nice indeed. But is the one that's driving me berserk? Why do only fools and old cities work? La 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 la
la la la la la la la. All right, what do you think of the episode, Bob?
It's a cracker, for sure. Loads of characters, which is always fun. All of them played really well. Even though Brendan and Corin are both, you know, like, not meant to be likeable, I really enjoyed them as characters. I thought they were great and a lot of fun. Denzel, a new regular. Mike, a new regular. What's not to enjoy? It's a really good episode.
There are loads of new characters in this, actually, and for that reason, it's kind of easy to see how far we've come from, you know, the first few episodes. We've got two new permanent characters in this episode, both Brendan and Corinne, although extras were proper loud, brash, you know, steal the stage extras, both done really, really well. Storyline is completely brilliant. Very, very, I can't say original. I guess something around that might have happened before, but, you know, a very interesting and it, sort it does, of...
It sounds a bit like an urban myth that's been made into a thing, like made into a story. It sounds like a punchline of a joke. You know, they thought they'd killed the animal, but it was already dead. I feel like it's definitely an idea that he's probably heard from somewhere. I can't imagine it's the first time that concept has been put into print or TV, but it's very nicely done.
Yeah. All the characters, I mean, the main characters, Dale, Grandad and Rodney, are all brilliant in it, all have good lines. It's a really, really nice standalone episode. everyone's just very comfortable. Like I said, we don't go to the Trotters' flat, which is rare, but we do get Grandad back in the pub, which we said in the last episode we weren't sure if that that happened anymore. And actually,
I remembered.
So yeah, a pretty brilliant episode all round. So obviously, unfortunately, this being quite an old season, quite a few of the characters have obviously passed on now, but. Specifically, a sad note. So the actress who played Corinne, Eva Motley, very, very good in this, unfortunately took her own life only 2 years after this. So she wasn't obviously in a lot more. Pretty sad to see. So just for that reason, I thought I'd do a little dedication this episode to her in these sad times. There's actually quite a lot going around Facebook at the moment, also about suicide awareness and stuff like that. So if you are having any problems or issues, then please do reach out and try and talk to someone. There's loads of stuff out there. But with that in mind, I thought there wasn't much music in the episode, so I was sort of looking for some stuff to stick in there, some West Indian music. We actually spoke about this off mic, which we don't normally do, but I was looking for some West Indian music and reading up a bit about the characters and found out a bit more about Eva. So the music for this week is going to be some West Indian vibes, specifically Barbados style calypso music by a Red Plastic Bag, and it's called Something Has Happened. So just a little dedication for her, but also to all the characters and the actors who, you know, have been in this series and not unfortunately with us today.
Yeah, it's not something we normally mention, of course, is the actors that have passed, because there are many of them now, obviously being so many years later, and it's a bit of a morbid subject, but I felt this one is particularly poignant and should be mentioned. And it's a real shame, because she was meant to be a recurring character, and it, you know, the show would have been the better for it. And she's referred to constantly throughout the show. Denzel mentions her again on many occasions. But yeah, she was really great, and it's a real shame we didn't get to see more of her.
So looking forward to next week's episode. It is the last episode of Series 3, the Christmas special, Thicker Than Water. And also the last time that we're going to see Grandad, so we're certainly going to have a bit of a dedication for Leonard Pierce there. Any thoughts about the next episode, Bob?
Yeah, it's another Christmas special. I think the last two, I think, have been a bit meh, but this is the one that I remember really well from the Grandad era Christmas special, and it's a really like foundational episode in kind of Trotter history in many ways. So I'm really looking forward to it. Been quite a while since I've seen it, I think. So. Yeah, it's going to be a cracker, although it's a really sad thing to see the last of Grandad.
Yeah, this episode alone opens up, you know, storylines for the rest of the series, and then some of the spin-offs as well. A very, very turning point episode. So a real big one to go through. So join us next week for Thicker Than Water. Thanks for joining us again. Stay at home, stay safe. And we'll see you next week. Please enjoy music by Red Plastic Bag. Something Is Happening with some West Indian vibes. Catch you all next week. Thanks for, as always, Bob. I'll see you soon.
It was a pleasure, Jay. Till next time. Thanks, everyone. Thanks very much for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us on Facebook/OnlyFoolsBrothers. Or on Twitter, we're at OnlyFoolsBros. Or if you want to send us a longer message, you can email us at OnlyFoolsBrothers@gmail.com. Also, really appreciate it if you could give us some sort of rating or review on your podcast app of choice. Thanks very much. Goodbye.